All right, saints, well, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 16. That's Romans chapter 16. How is it that you grow up in the Lord and build up the body of the Lord? The way to do that is to show up. People who show up, grow up, and build up. I've seen that over and over and over again. And tonight we're looking at a group of people who they're showing up. They're showing up for Jesus. First they showed up, they said, "Jesus, here I am. I'm a mess. But all I've come to realize is you are the Savior, and I'm sorry. I need you. I'm showing up." And I'm sure that it wasn't thought that way, but that's what they were doing, showing up. "Here I am, Lord." And then it goes from, "Lord, here I am, you know, I'm showing up," to, "I want to grow up, and I want to be used for your glory and for your purposes." And then the Lord, by His Spirit, He plants us somewhere. He plants us in a church. And He says, "Okay, just start showing up. If you start showing up, you'll start growing up, and then you're going to want to start building up." That's just how it works. And so tonight we're in a fascinating part of Scripture where 10 women are mentioned, some by name, and 19 men are mentioned by name. These are people who are from all different walks of life, but at some point, they had an encounter with Christ. And from that day forward, they started showing up. "Here I am, Lord. I don't know what this is all about. I don't know what my future holds. All I know is that I love you. And I know more than anything you love me. And my life is for you. That's what my life has become." And they, Gentiles, Jews, some seem to have resources. Others seem to be slaves, because slavery was a big part of the Roman culture. So basically, all different walks of lives. But when it came to Christ, that became like the great equalizer. Regardless of their status, regardless of their gender, regardless of those types of things, they all equally shared in ministry, serving the Lord. And, you know, Paul mentions all of them, and there were so many, many others, but he mentions these people, and it's fascinating because things haven't changed much. And by that I mean that the church is still showing up, growing up, and building up, you know, that God is still doing that work through people. Your name could be here because you're showing up. You've grown and you're growing up and you're building up the body. And so we're going to go through these names, and then we're going to end with three very strong characteristics of saints that are healthy. And these things, you'll see them in these folks throughout, you know, it's spread out throughout these verses, these three things. But we'll save those three things till the end. Well, let's pray, and then let's get familiar with these wonderful saints and the kinds of things that they did. Father, thank you so much for your word and for this time together in it. And God, I'm just so grateful that you reached us. You brought us to the end of ourselves. We don't want this world anymore. We don't want the things of this world. We don't want to pursue our own agenda. None of that. All that mattered and all that matters is you. And you've brought us to this point of, God, here I am. I'm showing up. I want to grow in you, and I want to be used. I want to build up your body. So here I am. I'm showing up. You do the work. You lead me. You guide me. You work through me. And we're just so grateful, God, that you're answering those prayers, and we see this testimony in your word with all these people here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Paul, he's now pretty much getting close to finishing this wonderful letter to the Romans. And so he now wants to introduce somebody that he is sending down to Rome. And it's a woman. Her name is Phoebe. And we'll learn a little bit about her right from the text itself. But what is said about her is just wonderful. But he says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. So he first says, listen, I'm sending Phoebe, and most likely Phoebe was carrying this letter. And she was going to be bringing this letter to the church there. And he sends her with high recommendations. He says, I commend to you Phoebe. And if you think about it, just practically speaking, he is sending her on this mission. Cenchrea is in Corinth, and it was about a six-day journey from Cenchrea to Rome. Now, it was a six-day journey. If you walked 24 hours a day, so this most likely took several weeks for her to make this trip. Now, of course, she didn't. It's hard to think that she made this trip alone. She probably made this trip with other believers that were going from Cenchrea to Rome. But you have to think about the kind of integrity and character that Phoebe had in order to be trusted with something so important. This letter was so important. And this letter has changed the lives of so many people. I mean, you hear accounts of how, for example, Martin Luther was so impacted by the letter to the Romans. That's just one person, and how many people has he impacted for good? And there's been so many people throughout history that have been just so blown away by this letter and the content, including us. And she was entrusted with just bringing this letter to Rome, which that was quite the journey, quite the trip. And so she had to be somebody that was loyal, dependable. And for Paul, he must have felt convinced that she is the right person for this job. And there's probably a lot of men that could have done it, but for whatever reason, she was outstanding. And she had the kind of character that when she was given a responsibility, she was faithful to it. And this probably was a pattern. And so because of that pattern, and Paul spent 18 months in Corinth planning that church, and he got to know Phoebe, I would imagine, pretty well. And I don't know how long he just stayed with, you know, working there at the church post that, you know, on different trips, but he must have stayed connected. And she had just such an impact on Paul, and he felt this woman is someone that can be trusted. She's faithful, and she will get the job there, or she'll get the letter there. She also probably was kind of the kind of spirit that she wasn't afraid. She didn't have the fear of man. I mean, I know a lot of women that wouldn't get in their car and drive from here to, you know, Yonkers. I say, I don't want to drive alone or make that trip. I'm afraid. And there's probably a lot of men that don't like driving either. But this woman walked and probably took a ferry. She had to take some kind of ship or something at some point to get to Rome. So she wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid. It was because it's for the Lord. It's for the Lord. But we understand that she comes with high recommendations, whatever those details were. And then she obviously was a sister. She was a believer because he says, I commend to you our sister, you know, Phoebe. And then we find out, and this is so fascinating. Look at her title, who is a servant of the church. I mean, what a wonderful title. I think that's the highest title anybody can have. A servant of the church. Or just a servant. You know, for whatever reason, and I get it, I understand, but for some people, having the title of pastor, that is like, for them, I have arrived. Once I got that status, it's like pastor status is, in their minds, it's like, but, and I understand it comes with a responsibility, but I think the highest calling and the highest title you can have is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it says a servant of the church. You know, sometimes people don't want to identify with a church. So I'm a servant of God. But whose church is it? It's God's church. And so here, Paul gives her the title, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. And so we don't know what that looked like. Some have argued that maybe she had an official position as a deaconess, or just the word itself, deacon, means a servant. But either way, she was a servant of the church. So I have to imagine she showed up. She got saved at some point. We don't know how she got saved, but she got saved. And she just started showing up at the church. And I can imagine it went like this. Hey, whatever you need, I'm here. You need it? Yep, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. You need this? Yep, no problem. You need that toilet clean? Give me the brush. No worries, I'm a servant of the church. You need me to vacuum? Sure. You need me to run errands? Yep, whatever you need. You want me to teach a class for the children's church? Yep, I'm a servant of the church. You want me to be out in the parking lot and, you know, giving people directions where to park their horses? No problem. I'm a servant of the church. What? The manure? It's piling up? You need me to? You need? No problem. And she probably started just whatever you need. I'm here. I'm showing up. I'm showing up. And she started growing up by showing up and being just available to build up the body. And, you know, she became such a wonderful, I don't want to use the word asset in a worldly sense, but for Paul, she became such an asset. You know, and she had the right heart. It's for the church. It's for the Lord. And I'm sure in that whole process, she probably got hurt by people. People let her down. She probably got frustrated with people because it's like sometimes people say, yeah, I'll help you, Phoebe. No worries. Yeah, I'll be there. And then they don't show up. And Phoebe's like, oh, man, again. Can't count on this person. Can't count on that person. What kind of person are you? Are you the person that you could be counted on? Or are you the kind of person that you can't be counted on? You don't have to answer out loud. And I want to be one of those kinds of people that I could be counted on. I'm a servant of the church. What a good example. And God used so many women throughout the Bible to be good examples. You know, it's sad because there are some people who are in positions of leadership or in positions of something, and they're not good examples. They're not showing up. They're inconsistent. And it's just a sad thing when you see people who should be showing up and they're not showing up. It's so sad. I don't want to be that kind of servant of the church. I want to be the kind of servant of the church that can be commended. Hey, this person comes with high recommendations. Yeah, she's loyal. She's dependable. You know, don't you want to be that way? And the only way to be that way is to show up, be consistent. You know, and she experienced what Jesus said, if you're faithful with little, then you could be entrusted with more. It's so sad, though, sometimes people get entrusted with a lot, and then once they got a lot, they're not faithful. It's so sad. You don't want to be that way. You want to follow good patterns, and Phoebe's a good pattern. She's a sister. She comes with high recommendations. She's a servant. And so he says, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. He wants the church there to know that Phoebe is the kind of person that you want to treat her well because she is a worker for the Lord. And how do we know this? Because he says, a sister in whatever business she has need of, for indeed she has been a helper of many. So that tells me that Phoebe was present. You know why she was present? Because she showed up. And what happens with people who show up? They grow up and they build up. She kept showing up. She had to be present. If she was a helper of many, and it was the church, you know, and the church gathered together. They gathered together to worship the Lord, like what we did. We gathered to worship the Lord and to get into His Word and then fellowship. And in all of that, she was helping many. And then Paul says, and she helped me. I've watched her life, and I've seen how she's been just interacting with so many people in the body, always helping people, probably helping people financially. She probably had means. and she's helped me. She's been a blessing to me. And I want you to treat her well. Treat her well in whatever she needs. You know, don't ignore her. Don't put her off to the side as she's not important. No. She is a, Dave Ramsey likes to use this term. Have you ever heard him say, a rock star? She's a rock star saint. And so make sure that you take care of her because she's a huge blessing. And what a great example. And I'm sure she got hurt. I'm sure people let her down, like I said. I'm sure, but you know, when you're serving the Lord, you work through all that stuff. You don't let that stuff discourage you. If things like that discourage you, interpersonal problems, and you get in, you know, you're hurt by somebody in the church, or, you know, a lot of times it's not real legitimate things. It's not real sin. It's just, you know, sometimes it's people's differences. We're all different. And sometimes people get hurt in the process. That's just how ministry can be sometimes. Just like family, right? Even in your own families. You hurt each other. You don't mean to do it, but it happens. Why? Because we're still human. We're not. How many of us are perfect? If any of you are perfect, I highly recommend you leave. Leave, because we're going to mess you up. You know, none of us are perfect. And if we get hurt and we let that stuff linger, and we get bitter and all bruised, that just goes to show that something's not right in our hearts. Something's not right. I mean, if anybody got hurt in this world, more than anybody I could think of is Jesus. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, even his own disciples. I mean, imagine you're telling them, hey, I am going to die. All right, well, can I be on your right and left in your kingdom? You know, it's like, me first. I want to, before anything happens, you know, I'm really not paying attention to what you're saying, because that's really not what matters to me, Jesus. Dying, what? Anyway, can I be on your right and left? You know, that because that's really what's on my mind. That's what I want. And then everybody else is all upset. How can you guys be? Remember all the other, they were upset that James and John were trying to secure a position. And then Jesus says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to? Oh, yes, yes. And I thought it was so great when he said, well, yeah, you will be baptized with the baptism that I'm, but you're not going to get the position. It's not mine to give. Oh, man. But the reason why sometimes people get hurt and upset is because we're carnal. We're self-centered. There's still me in there. And so I get hurt. But if it's Jesus, if it's the Lord, then you learn to forgive and you learn to move on. You learn to say, hey, I'm here to grow up. And if that's the means, God, that you're using, hurt and suffering, and hey, I'd rather be hurt by my brethren than hurt out in the world. I mean, look what the world did to Jesus. And even he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so it's always so wonderful when you see servants like Phoebe, who's a strong, godly woman, just whatever. I'm sure in church life she had her hardships, but she kept showing up. She kept showing up and growing through it and building up others for the glory of God. But she's not the only one, so, you know, she's one that he's sending. There's probably others that are sending, but then there's so many others that he mentions that somehow they've migrated to Rome. One way, shape, or form, they all ended up in this, in the churches in Rome. And when I say the church in Rome, there were many churches. There was a lot of house churches. There seems to be like maybe a main church, but then as it kept growing, there started to be more house churches. And I don't think that there was like a building and like it is today, because back in the early first century, the early church, it was hard to be a Christian. There was a lot of persecution. This was all new. And then Christianity is starting to spread throughout the Roman provinces. And at first, they weren't warm to this. So they weren't meeting in buildings and stuff. A lot of them met in homes and in their own homes and things like that. There's churches all around. And it wasn't until centuries later when Christianity became more, embraced that the church started, of course it already had grown, but they started to meet in larger public places and get their own buildings and things like that. But initially, it wasn't easy. It just wasn't an easy thing to do. But there is a lot of different churches, as you're going to see. And for example, there's Priscilla and Aquila. They have a church in their home in Rome. And then there's others that it seems like there's churches in their homes as well. And yet, Paul is writing to all of the church in Rome. And so now we're introduced to Priscilla and Aquila. And Priscilla and Aquila, that they're a husband and wife team. Priscilla is the wife and Aquila is the husband. And we don't know a lot of history about them, but Acts chapter 18 will give you the most that you can know about them in one chapter. But they used to be in Rome. They were probably, they were believers. We don't know when they got saved, but they were in Rome, and they probably were already meeting and spreading the gospel and being effective, because this was a dynamic husband and wife team, and they loved the Lord. But under the Roman Emperor Claudius, he had all the Jews leave Rome. The Roman area where he was the emperor, he had them all leave, all the Jews, get out of here. Because what was happening is Jews were becoming Christians. There was a growing Jewish population there, but conflicts started arising between the Jews that were believers and then the unbelieving Jews. And we learn of this from a historian, a Roman historian. And also in the book of Acts, it talks about how Claudius, he expelled the Jews. It's in Acts chapter 18, told them, get out. But I think the man's name was Suetonia. He was a historian, and he writes about it in the second century. He did his research. And so what it was, from what I understand, was the conflict that was happening between the Jews. Claudius, the emperor, says, we don't need this. You guys all leave. And so then Priscilla and Aquila end up in Corinth. I believe they end up meeting Paul and being a very important team and planting the church at Corinth. Priscilla and Aquila came and helped them. It's interesting. You never know what those negative experiences in your life are going to turn into. I'm sure Priscilla and Aquila were probably happy in Rome, probably, meeting with other Christians, and God was doing a great work there, and then all of a sudden, get out. When was the last time you were told, get out of your house, get out of the United States, leave? Probably never. That would be hard, wouldn't it? Just get out. We don't want you here. So, their life got disrupted. But yet God had a plan for them. And they end up in Corinth. They connect with Paul. They're tent makers by trade. And so Paul and Priscilla and Aquila, they would work. And then they would preach the gospel, and a church was planted there. And Paul stayed there for 18 months, and he worked with Priscilla and Aquila. I don't know if he worked there for all that time, but then eventually Claudius, he probably passed away, and that edict came to, you know, an end, and then he went back to Rome. He was there already. Had, you know, been there years earlier, and so by the time that Paul writes this letter, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, they're back in Rome, and they have a church in their house. And he says some wonderful things about them. He says, listen, number one, they're fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And notice this, that's going to be a real big theme throughout these verses. We're probably only going to get to verse 16. That's what I planned for, but maybe we won't get through all of that because you know how I am. But it's all in Christ. That's what this whole thing called servanthood is all about. It's all in Christ, for Christ, for the glory of Christ, for the building up of the church of Christ. That's why we show up. It's not about myself and what I get out of it. I mean, initially, that's how we start, right? That's how we start. But then when you grow up and you mature, you pass from it's all about me and all for me to it's all about you and what can I do to build up your body. You know, and even when we think it's all about you, when we're young, it's still all about us. But as we start growing, we realize, wow, God, I there's a lot of growing, maturing that has to take place. And then that process begins and you start, like the song says, just forget about yourself, magnify the Lord and worship him. And then that becomes your norm. It's like, it's all about Jesus. It ain't about me. It's all about Jesus and whatever you want. And, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, it was about the Lord. They got to that point. Their lives had ups and downs and changes and who knows the hurts and things they went through. They weathered all that stuff. Because, you know, it shows that they're workers, fellow workers in Christ. So much so, Paul says, who risked their own necks for my life. We don't know what that looked like, what the details were, but they literally put their lives on the line for Paul. And Paul was one who was always getting in trouble, not because he was doing anything wrong, but for preaching the gospel, for being committed to the work of the Lord. And in his context, going around being a pioneer and sharing the gospel to unknown areas, that often brought trouble with it because there was a lot of people who hated the message of the cross. And so when Paul was working in Corinth, there was one time that Paul was thinking about leaving. He was getting afraid, and Jesus ministered to Paul, and he said, Paul, don't be afraid. Stay here in Corinth. I got many people here. So he probably had some threats on his life at different times, and who knows at what point Priscilla and Aquila maybe jumped in. They weren't afraid. Maybe they had to, who knows what that looked like. But he says that they risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Because they were a blessing to many of the churches in the Greek area, and Corinth and Macedonia, and probably in all that region, they had some kind of influence and impact. And then he says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And then he moves on, greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. So somehow, Achaia, some connected with Corinth, other connected with Asia, an area in Asia. But either way, this man, he was one of the early believers who came to know Christ. And Paul loved this brother. And somehow he ended up going to Rome, going to the church in Rome. He ended up working his way over there. And then he says, greet Mary. We don't know really anything about her. There are so many Marys in the Bible. We don't know who this Mary is, but look at what we do know about her, who labored much for us. And so obviously she was a saint, and she was a laborer for Christ, a servant of the church and a servant of the people of God. And then here's most likely another husband and wife team, Andronicus being the husband and Junia being the wife. And it's great when you see husband and wife teams in the church serving together. That's just so wonderful. Now these folks were Jews because he says, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. So we don't know how that looked. Did that look like this? They were arrested together for preaching the gospel, and maybe some Roman soldiers came and, hey, what's going on here? And people start saying, these guys are, who knows, the false things, you know, they were bringing up against these Paul and Andronicus and Junia, and maybe a group got arrested for preaching the gospel. Or maybe they didn't get arrested together. Maybe Andronicus and Junia at a different point got arrested too for preaching the gospel. And Paul got arrested different times for preaching the gospel. So it was like my fellow prisoners in the sense of either we've been in prison together for preaching the gospel, or they've gone to prison. I've gone to prison. They can relate. We can relate. But either way, these folks were workers, servants, and suffered for Christ, going to jail. And then Paul says, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. And so they had such a reputation that they were known among the apostles. And it's so good when you have a name that is recognized for serving the Lord. You know, that person loves the Lord. That person is a worker for the Lord. That person is a servant of the church. That person, you know, some people have reputations for the way they look. Oh, the handsome guy or beautiful girl. You know. Some people, oh, they're so gifted and talented. Oh, they're a great preacher. They're a great, you know, whatever. But man, I think God forgive us for liking to be recognized for things we do like that. But I think it's so great when people are recognized that individual loves the Lord. That individual is a servant of the church. That individual risked their life for the gospel. That's really, those are beautiful compliments, you know, beautiful compliments. Those are the kinds of things I'm sure they didn't seek to be known. They probably didn't seek to be known, but if you're going to be known for being a servant of the living God. And then there's Amplias, my beloved in the Lord. We don't know anything about him, but greet him. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And notice, again, it's in the Lord, in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles. Notice this, approved in Christ. So this man must have been tested. And he kept passing the tests. You know, he kept showing up and showing up. How's it going? How's the battle? Oh, man, the enemy's hammering me, but I'm here. It's all for the Lord. Praise God. He was approved. He was tested, and he was approved. And I'm sure Paul knows specifically what that is, but We don't, but I'm sure that there was probably many tests that Apollos went through. And isn't it interesting how some Christians seem to have lives where, you know, it's just like easy. I mean, they love the Lord. They love the Lord. There's nothing wrong. They're just serving the Lord. There's no conflict. And then you have others that they're in jail. There's conflict. They're being tested. It's like you have this dynamic in the house of God. And that's just the way God orchestrates and ordains for some people. Some people, you know, when you read the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you see some of the people in Hebrews chapter 11, they do some great things for God, right? Like David did some great things, and some of these, and then others get sawn in half. It's like, I'd rather be on the David side than to get sawn in half. But God is in all of that. And why and how God allows some people to go through prison and risking their necks and being tested, and others just, you know, and greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. It's like, I don't know, but that's all God's doing. Remember what Peter said to Jesus? He said, what about him? You remember that? And what did Jesus say to him? That's none of your business. It's none of your business about him. That's my business. You just worry about yourself. You just worry about my will for you. Don't be worrying about him. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. So he doesn't say greet Aristobulus. Maybe he's not a believer, but those from his household might be. I don't know what to you know how to understand that, but nevertheless, Paul is sending greetings to the household of Aristobulus. Or maybe it could be that Aristobulus is also has a house church, and maybe he's not the one that's really managing things, and more in the house, people of the household are managing, but I really don't know. But he sends his greeting. Greet Herodian, my countryman, a Jew. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. This could be also another home church or just greeting the household, don't know. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. These are some wonderful women, more wonderful women who labored in the Lord. And here's another wonderful woman. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord, even more than Tryphena and Tryphosa. You know, Paul even said, he said, you know, I labored more than all of them. Talking about the apostle, you remember that? He said, I labored more than all of them. I love Paul, you know. He didn't have that that modern view of how everybody gets a trophy. Yeah, he didn't have a problem saying, so. Wow, that was horrible. Here's your trophy, you know. Everybody's equal, you know, in some of this modern mentality. Paul, he doesn't have a problem saying even, you know, this person's a rock star, you know. I'm sorry, you're not as committed, so I'm not going to entrust you with that responsibility. Sorry, but you are more committed, so I'll entrust you with this responsibility. But it doesn't mean you don't love the Lord. I know you love the Lord. It's not a fact of, you know. I don't know if Paul would say it in those words, but nevertheless, he said, who labored much, Persis labored much in the Lord. And then greet Rufus. Rufus, some think that this was the son of Simon Cyrene, of Cyrene, who was the one who helped and he carried the cross. We really don't have a way of substantiating that, at least I couldn't. But either way, it's just a guy named Rufus. That was a common name. But nevertheless, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. And listen to what he says, Paul, and his mother and mine. because, you know, I don't know, maybe at some point they took Paul in, and, you know, as Paul was ministering, they provided for him, and, you know, Rufus's mother was like a mother to Paul. We really don't know, again, but nevertheless, he addresses them this way, and greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Could have been another house church and the leadership there, but we don't know for sure. But all these guys love the Lord, and he's sending them the greeting. And then greet Philologus and Julia. Could be another husband and wife team. And Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Could be another house church. But all these saints, and then he, and we'll finish with this verse, greet one another. And look what he says. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. And isn't this fascinating? You know, he mentions all these people. And, you know, these are all people who showed up. They showed up. They grew up in the Lord. And they, you know, built up the body of the Lord. You could see labored in the Lord, risking their lives and migrating and going to the church in Rome and, you know, helping and working there. And you got all these men and women. And there's three things. There's three things that, you know, they all had in common. These are three things that we need to have if we want to grow up and build up the body of Christ. You know, we got to show up and have these things. Number one is they're all committed. They're all committed. They were committed to the work of the Lord. And then some of you might say, well, they were committed to Christ first. Duh. You know, of course. That's why they were committed to the work of the Lord. You know, they're committed to Christ, and they're committed to the work of the Lord. Servants of the church of God in the Lord, they were committed. And that's something of the heart. That's a heart thing. That idea of commitment. And not only were they committed, they're also co-laborers. They were not afraid to work. And of course, there is, you can't work in isolation, not in the church. The church is a community thing, and we are all called to be co-laborers. We all work together. You know, it's fascinating, and we're going to end in a few minutes, but it's fascinating. How many of you have seen my hands? You probably never noticed them, but you see them, don't you? How many of you have seen my feet? Very few. Yeah. Maybe at the beach when we did baptisms, you know, and you're like, ooh, put your shoes back on. You know, what's my point? My point is my feet rarely get noticed, but they're so important. But they don't get prime time. My hands get way more visibility. They're not covered. You know, my feet are covered, my hands aren't covered, and they barely interact with each other. Barely. You know, when I'm washing my feet, you know, but barely. They're like, ones, they're here, and those are way down there. So what's my point? Yet they're all in the same body. We're all working together. So it's the same thing. Some in the body may barely interact, but we're still all working together. In one service, I'm sitting here teaching. In another service, somebody's sitting in the back teaching. And I might not even see them, but we're co-laboring. We're working together. We're working together. Some are more visible. And others, they're not visible hardly at all. But they're working, they're praying, they're behind the scenes, they're cleaning, they're doing. But we're all working together, and it's so important to be co-laborers. It doesn't matter what we do. It's all that matters is that what we're doing is for the Lord, and that he's ordained it. We're doing what we're doing because this is what God wants. He's put us in these places. I didn't put my feet there. He put those feet there. And so, hey, praise God, I got feet. And I'm grateful. And that's how we have to be in our minds. We're co-laborers. And so not only were they committed, but they were engaged in working together. They were co-laborers. And the last thing is they were connected. Now you just think, yeah, co-laboring and connection, aren't they the same things? Well, no. One is serving, and then the other one is being together, unified in family. Remember what he said? Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's affection. That's family. It's so important to be connected to the body. Not just co-laboring, not just serving, working, but actually being connected, being in relationship with people. These are so important. And if you feel disconnected, if you're not really a co-laborer, and your level of commitment is weighing down, then you have to, then I think that becomes more of a heart issue, because that tells me if I have these feelings like I'm not connected to the body, that to me is a deeper issue that really stems from a connection with Christ. Because when I'm connected to Christ, when I'm committed to Christ, that's where my strength, where my power, where my sound thinking comes from, where my motivation comes from. And it's not where I go into the body thinking about how you guys are treating me. I'm thinking about how good God's been to me and how I can't but want to serve His people, no matter what. And let me tell you, sometimes serving God's people is not easy. Have you ever experienced that? You know, people come and go. People sometimes say some nasty things about you, your wife, your kids, about the church. I've had people, you know, do some nasty things, stab you in the back. I mean, not literally. They'd have a prison ministry. But we don't serve, we're not committed based on how people are responding to us. We do what we do because of Him. And that's where our desire to be committed comes from, our desire to be a co-laborer comes from, and our desire to be connected. I need to be connected. It all comes from fellowshipping with Jesus. And so if something's wrong here, that's probably because something's wrong here. But the beautiful thing is once we get this right, then everything else just flows from this. So if you're feeling disconnected, if you're feeling like your service is nothing, you're not doing anything for the Lord, or you feel like, I'm not as committed, just say, oh God, change my heart. Change my heart. Change my heart. It's just feelings. It's just me. And fill me, empower me. I want to abide in you. And I want, as I abide in you, I want you to bear fruit through me for your glory. I want to show up and grow up and build up your people. Father, we thank you for your word and your goodness and grace. And we pray, God, that you continue to pour out your blessings over our hearts as we just consider in our thoughts, as we meditate on the things that we've heard tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.